trials. It may sound like a theme that is negative and kind of depressing, but it really is a theme of victory and a theme of thriving in the Christian life, because these trials are allowed by God, and God has a purpose in it. We're going to conclude our series, or mini-series, whatever you want to call it, on trials next Wednesday. I've asked Brother Wyatt to preach for us, to teach for us, and I asked him to teach us what he's learned through the trials of his life, and what God has the lessons and what God has taught him through all that he's faced in the last couple of years. And so I'm looking forward to next week, and I hope that you'll come and be a part of the conclusion of the series on trials. I want us to look at the 16th chapter here, verse number 1 of the Gospel of John, and I want us to look at just an expression that's found in this scripture. I'll build it out for us, and I hope will be a help as we look at the idea of God's necessities in our life. God's necessities in our life. The Bible says this in verse number 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." Now, if you have a red letter Bible, these letters, these words will be in red. This is Jesus speaking. He says in verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Verse number 7 now. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This passage of Scripture is a message that Jesus has to his disciples. How many times in our life do we just simply don't understand? It's probably a long list if we were honest. There are so many unanswered questions in our life. How did we get to this particular place? You know, various events that took place in our life, God's leading in certain areas. And not only this, even biblical truths, doctrines that are taught in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that God's peace is beyond our understanding. And I think we could probably add to that list the Godhead, the Trinity in there as well. The Trinity is hard for us to understand. And topic after topic, we could add to that list of things we just don't understand in our life. And yet we know, or we ought to know, that God is greater and wiser than us. And we cannot speak evil of the things what we don't understand. The Bible teaches us that this is the attitude of false teachers. In 2 Peter 2, verse 12, the Bible says they speak evil of the things they understand not. It makes perfect sense to me that we're not going to understand everything about God, because God is greater than us. The Bible, as I have said many times, the Bible isn't everything that God knows. It's everything that God wants us to know. And God has declared to us His word of who He is. And we accept that by faith. By faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is embracing that God is greater than us, that God's ways are better than our ways, and that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Oswald Chambers said this, faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. And we know that when we don't understand, when we don't always see God at work, we trust him. And that's why the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding, because God's ways are higher and greater than ours. And our understanding is frail at best. It's weak. It's limited. And the Christian life is a life of faith. The justified shall live by faith. And so this faith life involves trusting God. But it's trusting God in the good times. It's trusting God in the bad times. It's trusting God when trials come, when troubles come. But more importantly, it's trusting God when we don't understand. When we don't understand. And in this passage of Scripture, this is what God is teaching his disciples. Let me give you some thoughts tonight. Number one, God knows what is best for your life, even when it doesn't seem clear, when it's not fair or even good. God knows what is best for your life, even when it doesn't seem clear, fair, or even good. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is standing before his students, his disciples, and he's explaining to them that there's a difficult day is coming. The events are coming when Jesus said they're going to produce fear. And he says, I don't want you to stumble at them. I don't want you to be offended by these events that are going to take place in your life. Verse number 2 of chapter 16, he speaks of religious leaders of the day. In the epistles, the Apostle Paul calls them Judaizers. They were the religious leaders or the religious individuals of the day that believed in a works-based salvation, that it was Christ, but also it was keeping the law, and we call that legalism. And so he's writing here to these disciples, these students, and he's saying, listen, there's coming a day when religion will feel threatened by the true gospel. He's saying here, there's coming a day when religion is going to fight you. Now, religion is a big business in our world today. The reality is that millions and millions of dollars are spent on Christian material, on Christian music, on Christian resources. And here Jesus is saying that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're not going to like the message of the gospel. And so he says, listen, they're going to kill you. Well, that's not good news. I mean, that's pretty terrifying. They're going to kill you, and they're going to say that they're doing God's service. Now, we know this is true because the reality is the Apostle Paul lived that. The Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, says that he persecuted the church of God, and he wasted it. And he thought he was doing the very service of Almighty God. I hope you understand tonight that not everything that claims to be of God is actually of God. Not everything in our world today that has a Christian label is actually Christ-like. And in verse number 3, Jesus said, listen, there's coming a day when they're going to persecute you and they're going to kill you and they're going to say that it's of God. And the reason why they're going to do it is simple. They don't know God. He says in verse 3, and they don't know me. In verse 4, Jesus told them that he was telling them these things because there was coming a time when these events would take place. And He says, I don't want you to panic, and I don't want you to be offended. The thought there of offend is to stumble at them. I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to be fearful. He says, I was with you from the very beginning. I would have told you these things, but I was with you. But there's coming a time when I won't be with you. Wait a minute. Things just got a lot worse now. You told me that there's going to be difficult days, and now you're saying you're going away? I mean, in verse number 5 of chapter 16, Jesus looks really at the final mile of redemption. He's looking at the cross and the tomb and the resurrection, and the Lord is saying, listen, I'm leaving. I'm going away. Because of this, he says, verse 6, sorrow has filled your heart. And rightfully so. Can you imagine what it must have been like to walk with Jesus in the physical sense? Can you imagine what it must have been like to watch those miracles with your own eyes? To see Jesus feed the multitude, to see him touch blinded eyes and a man to see a lame man begin to walk, to see Jesus raise the dead would have been incredible. To physically be a part of the earthly ministry of Jesus. And now he's saying he's going away. Now he's saying it's all going to be done. I think we would all agree tonight that everything is better when Jesus is around. Everything is better when Jesus is near. I mean, the Bible tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When Jesus was in the judgment hall, Peter denied the Lord. He decided he was going to return fishing. The disciples were scattered and hiding. I mean, listen, we're stronger when Jesus is with us. Verse 7 is really just an incredible thought. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. That expression there, I tell you the truth, in verse number 7 is important because he's saying, you're not going to believe this. I know this sounds incredible, and this you're not going to understand it right away, And I know you're thinking this doesn't make sense, but I tell you the truth. It is expedient or beneficial or important for you that I go away. How can something that hurts so much, how can something that brings so much sorrow in our life be good for us? Well, we know that God knows what he's doing, right? He says in verse 7, because I'm going to send another comforter, another of the same. In verse 13, the Bible says the Spirit of truth will come. And the Spirit of truth, the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Bible says that he will guide you into truth. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to remind you what I have said to you. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal me to you, the Lord Jesus. And though you don't understand my purpose, and though you don't really understand everything that's involved, and even though that outwardly this event is sorrowful and a mystery to you, this is what Jesus is saying. This is necessary for your life. It really is an incredible statement by the Lord Jesus. Think for a moment of all the things that could have happened in your life. All the events that could have taken place if God had not intervened. Most of those events you will never know this side of heaven. Most of the events that God had turned away and maybe your mind had changed or you've drawn near to the Lord, most of these events you won't even understand until you're with the Lord. A wonderful passage of Scripture, we've referenced this in our series. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? I want to return to it one more time tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 6. And notice what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." God told Paul that because of the issue of pride that can really happen in all of our lives, God says, "Listen, I'm going to allow a thorn in your flesh." And the Bible says that Paul prayed, I believe, three seasons of prayer. Three times God said, "Take away," or Paul says, "Take away the thorn." But God had a purpose in it. You see, it was expedient in Paul's life that this thorn be present. You know, not every trial is the same. And not every trial has the same purpose. In Psalm 72, verse 18, the Bible teaches us that God only doeth wondrous things. God never makes mistakes. Everything that God does is wonderful things. And that includes our life and God's work in our life. We notice in Psalm 119 the progression of the psalmist. In verse 65 in Psalm 119, the psalmist said that God dealt well with thy servant. The word there, well, means right. God dealt rightly by the psalmist. God only does wondrous things. He says in verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." Here he is seeking the Lord, and he wanted God to instruct him good judgment and knowledge. And then in verse 67, he says, "I was afflicted." And then in verse 71, he says, "It was good that I had been afflicted, because I learned God's way." The psalmist understood that there are times in our life that trials and troubles come, and we don't understand what God is doing, but God has a purpose in it. That we would learn God's way in our life. Think about for a moment the shepherd's psalm. Psalm what? What's the shepherd's psalm? Psalm 23. All right, you are awake. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." He says in Psalm 23, verse 2, that God maketh him to lie down. Think about the significance of that statement, that God maketh me to lie down. The shepherd knows what is best for the sheep. He knows what the sheep needs. And even though the sheep wants to do its own thing and go its own way, the shepherd knows that rest is vital. And so God makes the sheep stop and to lie down and feed by the nourishing pastures of the still water. And listen, you know how God makes us lie down? It's through trials. It's through troubles. We're always on the go here and to do this and to do that. And God has to slow us down and say, "This is the most important part of your life." Because waiting time is never wasted time. Oftentimes, God would bring his servants to desert places in their life to prepare them for something bigger and something better. And the good shepherd prepares our life. The good shepherd knows what is best for our life, even when it doesn't seem clear, even when it doesn't seem fair, even when it doesn't seem good. He says, "This is expedient for you. This is essential in your life." Now, number two, we have to also mention that the devil has the opposite purpose in trials as God. The devil has the opposite purpose in trials as God. You know, the devil has always substituted God's best with a counterfeit version of it. He has always done that. The devil always offers cheap imitations of what God has for us. I did some internet searches and tried to find some cheap imitations of some of the popular brands out there in the world and saw some pictures of some products. And here's some of the funniest ones I found. Instead of Pizza Hut, there was a building and it said Pizza Huh. Pizza Huh. H-U-H. Pizza Huh. Instead of Nike, someone had a pair of shoes. They had the Nike symbol, but it said Mike. Now, come on, Mike. They had an action figure, and it looked like, you know, the man in red and blue, you know, the tights and the S on his chest, and it had on the top, Special Man. Special Man. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Special Man. They had a chocolate bar, you know, and it said Cat Caught instead of Kit Kat. Cat Caught. That's a cheap imitation. And then there was some butter, and it said on there, I think it tastes like butter. That's what it was called. Instead of, I can't believe it's not butter, it's, I think it tastes like butter. I hope it tastes like butter. You take that home and it doesn't taste like butter, you'll be sadly surprised, all right? The devil is trying to take God's best, and he makes cheap imitations of God's best. And we see that in our world today. Where the devil makes cheap imitations of marriage and church and true joy and true fulfillment and true peace in someone's life. And these imitations that the devil promotes as real and genuine, they are not what they're promoted to be. They are, listen, it is eternal false advertising. Eternal false advertising. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. He is an angel of light, but a deliverer of night. All right, he's a sinister minister. At the end of the day, the devil wants to destroy you. And Paul, when he's talking about his thorn in the flesh, he writes in 2 Corinthians 12:7, he says, listen, this thorn was allowed by God, and God had a purpose in it, but notice what he says, it was delivered by Satan. He said, Satan used it to buffet me. The word buffet means to punch in the face. And he says, listen, the devil delivered it to knock me down, to discourage me, to harm me, to hurt me. I heard the story of an elderly woman who was praying for some food openly on her front step, and some troublemaking boys heard her prayer. And they decided that they were going to go out and buy some food and play a trick on her, make a joke. And so they placed that food on her porch step, and they rang the doorbell. And that elderly woman came out, and she saw the food, and she started to praise God for it. She said, thank you. She said, thank you, Lord, for your provision. And those young boys jumped out of the bushes and said to that older woman, they said, you know, God didn't give you that food. We put that food on your step. And that woman said, well, she said, the devil may have delivered it, but God sent it. And here Paul is saying, listen, God allowed this thorn in my life, but it was delivered by the devil, and the devil wanted to punch me in the face. He wanted to buffet me. But he says, God wanted to build me. You know, listen, God says, Paul, this is expedient for you. The devil says, I know what I'll do with it. I'll knock the preacher down. I'll hurt him with it. I'll end his ministry. I'll keep him from doing what God wants him to do. I heard the story of a famous boxer who was teaching his son how to box. I tried boxing once in college. It didn't go well for me. The son boxed the champion and got some punches in. Really made some progress. And he started to get proud. And so the next time that he met his father, he didn't do so well. And as they were preparing to leave, he said to his father, "How come I got worse?" The father replied, "The first time I allowed you to get the punches in to build your confidence." But he said, "That confidence quickly turned into arrogance, and I shut that down." And listen, God allows the devil in our life to get some punches in because he knows what is best for our life. God has a better purpose in these things. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Would you turn there? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And look at this passage of Scripture, if you would look at this verse here. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I really want you to see this passage of Scripture. It says in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation." This is speaking here of us in Christ. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're an holy nation. We are a peculiar people. And we look at that, that's an old English word, and we think today, we think, well, we're a peculiar people. We're weird. And maybe some people are. I don't know. I'm not judging anyone. But that's not what God is saying. Actually, the word peculiar, an old English word, it means a people who are God's own possession. It's a people who belong to God. He says, you're a peculiar people. You belong to God. And the Greek word for this word, peculiar, it means encircled. And it's just an incredible thought. If you have the outline for tonight, you'll notice on the outline, I drew a circle on your page with a dot in the middle. That dot represents you. And you are encircled by God. You say, well, what does that mean for me? It means that nothing comes into your life except it be from God or it goes through God. Nothing enters into your life. And not everything that the devil sends your way, God allows into your life. Because God knows how much you can bear. And God has a purpose in everything that God allows in your life. You say, Pastor Burns, are you sure it's how much I can bear? Because, I mean, I feel the pressure. It's intense. The burden is pretty heavy. I wonder how much would be in our life today if Satan could just push everything he wanted in our life. So many times, the devil tries to swing at us. And God says to Lucifer, not today. God allows these trials, these punches, if I could say it, for a purpose. And we look at who God uses in the Bible. We look at Paul's life and Job and Peter and Mary and Martha. We look at these individuals' lives, and we see God at work in their life because Satan wants to destroy us, but God wants to define us. He has a purpose in everything that comes. Satan wants us to get bitter, but God wants us to get better. And so the Bible says that God allows these things. These are expedient. And even though the devil sends them our way to knock us down, God says, no, I'm going to allow these events to build you up. Now let's look at number three, my last point. God always supplies us with what we need. God always supplies us with what we need. The Bible says this in James chapter 1, in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Trials come into our life, and oftentimes, if not all times, we lack the necessary wisdom to endure. Because, listen, God wants us to endure. He does. The Lord says, listen, this trial is needful for you. And James says, when the trial comes, ask God, and God will give you what you need to get through it. You lack wisdom? We all do. Then ask God in faith. And God will give you the wisdom that you need. He'll meet that need in your life. You know, faith does not eliminate questions, Elizabeth Elliot said, but faith knows where to take them. And we take our questions to God. We seek the Lord, and we have not because we ask not. And so we approach each trial that God allows in our life with faith. We trust God. We don't lean on our own understanding. And the Bible says God gives us what we need to thrive, not just survive, but to thrive. And we begin to see God's work in our life. And we experience God's grace. Because if you're like me, oftentimes when we come into trials, our first prayer is, Lord, take it away. We beg God to remove a trial. But God's first purpose is always to improve us through the trial. Think about that. Our first prayer is, Lord, take it away, remove it. But God's purpose is always to improve us through that trial. And Jesus said to Paul, Paul, I cannot take it away. It's expedient, but my grace is sufficient. God gives you what you need today to thrive in where you are at. Isn't that why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ? Because Paul understood that wherever God led him, God would give him what he needed to thrive, to get through it. And it may be hard for us to believe that where we are today, it has a purpose. It may be hard for us to believe that the difficult events that have come into our life this year, last year, that God has a use for it. But these events, listen, these events are never meant to break you. Never meant to break you. They are allowed by God to build you. And this is the key. This is the key. Because patience is endurance. It's endurance. My son and I were discussing when he was younger. He used to always cry when he lost. And he just had that emotion of disappointment that he didn't win, and he didn't know how to handle it. And I was telling him the other day, I said, do you know the only way that you're going to be able to get through that is you're going to have to lose a lot. Because when we endure, the Bible teaches us that it's going to bring us to spiritual maturity. Because let's be honest, you learn lessons. You can learn no other place in God's schoolroom but through afflictions and trials. They teach lessons that you can't learn anywhere else. And God says, listen, trials come into your life, but you're going to have to endure them. And as you endure them, you learn lessons. And you endure them, you learn more lessons. You learn patience. And that patience is going to have its perfect work. It's going to bring you to spiritual maturity. Maybe you've met a Christian that just looks like they're one trial away from just throwing in the towel. God doesn't want us to live our life like that. God wants us to learn about His grace. He wants us to learn that He is sufficient, that we can ask Him and He'll supply the need and bring us to where we want to or where we need to be. And I believe with all my heart, if you want to learn about the grace of God, then you need to talk to someone who's endured trials in their life. You need to talk to someone who's come out on the other end stronger and nearer to the Lord through the trials that they have endured. I have given you my testimony many times. I think of my dad who passed away when I was 15 years old, and really, you know, it's a time, and maybe you've experienced this or know someone who's experienced this, a time when a young man really needs their father. And it could have been easy for me to get bitter at the situation, to get bitter at God. God, why would you allow this to take place? But I believe with all my heart, it was one of the driving forces that led me into ministry. And one day I'll have the full story. I'll be able to talk to the Lord and say, why did you allow this to happen? Why did this take place in my life? And you the same. Why did this event take place? Why did that event take place? And you know what I think the Lord will say? It was expedient for this to happen in your life. Because of this and because of that. And this would have happened. You would have gone there. You would have done this. I had a purpose and I had a plan. And yes, it brought sorrow. And yes, it hurt. And yes, you didn't understand. But it was expedient that it took place. God help us today to see the bigger picture in all of it. And listen, I'm not minimizing troubles and trials because I get it. The worst trial we've ever faced is the one we're in right now. Because you just can't see the end. But at the end of the day, I'm here to tell you that God is always faithful. And if you ask Him, He will meet the need of your heart. And it will be a teaching moment for you, because it is expedient that we face these difficulties in our life. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to have a biblical perception. And Lord, I'll be the first to say there are many things I don't understand of what you have allowed to take place in my life.